Dear friends, brothers, and sisters, welcome to the ordinary time in our liturgies. Sundays in ordinary time are not a celebration of a particular mystery, but they are, however, a celebration of the history of salvation as a whole. Each Sunday is a small sister, Easter, in itself, that brings us together around the resurrected Jesus in order to listen to his word and to celebrate his Eucharist. This week, we are at a wedding in Cana, where Jesus revealed his divine power by his first miracle, transforming water into wine. Throughout the Bible, brothers and sisters, marriage is the symbol of the covenant relationship between God and his chosen people. God is the faithful groom, and humanity is his beloved bride. Pope John Paul II gave us a beautiful gift when he introduced the luminous mysteries of the Rosary. The second mystery is the subject of today's Gospel, the wedding feast at Cana, where Jesus changed water into wine. The miracle at Cana is the first of seven signs in John's Gospel miracles events by which Jesus showed forth his divinity. God is the groom, and humanity is his beloved bride. We see this beautifully reflected in today's first reading, where Isaiah uses the metaphor of spousal love to describe God's love for Israel. The prophet reminds his people that their God rejoices in them as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, and that he will rebuild Israel if they will be reconciled to him and repair their strained relationship with him. Jesus' first sign at Cana and Paul's advice to the Corinthians challenge us to become more sensitive to the many signs of God's power and glory around us, to open our eyes and hearts to perceive them as coming from God and to give glory to God for them. They are many gifts, but only one giver. They are different gifts, but only one goal. When Jesus asked Mary, "What is it to me and to you?" This implies no rudeness on Jesus' part. Probably it means we are guests, and guests are not expected to supply the things needed at the feast. Jesus is further protested that his hour has not yet come. The hour of Jesus includes his passion, death, resurrection, and exaltation, taking us on great event. In spite of Jesus' detachment from the problem, Mary instructed the waiters, "Do whatever he tells you," showing faith that her son would do what the new witness and their families really needed. The church uses the account of this miracle to remind us that by virtue of her position as the Mother of God and our Heavenly Mother, Mary's intercession for us with God has great power. The Gospel takes us by the hand and guides us so that we may get to know Jesus through his teachings and his miracles, and so that we may follow him to his death and resurrection. The disciples are witnesses of his messianic power, and this is where they begin the journey of faith. Reality goes beyond all of their hopes. With outpouring of gifts that Christ distributes according to his wishes to all of the members of his church. The miracle at Cana is the first of the signs in which Christ manifests his glory and leads his disciples to believe in him. However, it's a miracle necessary in order to believe. Throughout his gospel, St. John makes it clear that faith does not depend upon miracles. Miracles are a revelation for those who already walk in the path of faith. The lessons that we learn today fit into the very core of our problems, because deep down inside, we are all longing for a miracle of renewal, a new wine, a new world, a renewed love, a reconstruction of our time. We hope for all of this, but often we hope for it in the wrong way. We come in search of the new wine that Jesus offers us, the new wine of his word, the new wine of his love, the new wine of his body and blood that is given to us to nourish and to give joy to our lives. The wedding at Cana brings the light a new concept of matrimony and family. Human love is not only a union of two bodies, but also a communion between persons that unite them in life and destiny, and that flourishes into the fullness of joy. A marriage that is based on a true conjugal love, called to be exclusive, total, and unconditional for the rest of life. Jesus attends a wedding banquet because he wants to elevate these very human feats to a sacramental sign in which he will create a perfect commitment with humanity. Christ cannot be a simple guest at our weddings. He is the only one who must remain with us when all of the other guests have left. Christ wants to be a witness of the love between spouses, the one who guarantees their happiness, the mediator of their conflicts, and the confidant of their problems, the friend who brings them out of the predicament when the wine begins to run out. But most of all, he is the one who gives them the joy of living, converting the wine of human love into the generous wine of the last hour, the wine of Christ, of Christian love. That is why a Christian marriage can never be about two separate egos, because in it is represented the infinite love of God which enters into communion with all of humanity. Brothers and sisters, the brief intervention of the part of Mary puts into perspective her role interceding in the mystery of our redemption. In the Old Testament, the wine symbolizes the joyful plenitude of the love between a man and his wife. The lesson that we must learn is that we must be alert in order to discover the needs of others. Following the example of Mary, we must show interest in the needs of others, not only in what is indispensable to survive, but in everything that can help to live with joy without falling into the temptation of turning away as if we had not seen anything. Then we must trust him and wait just as Mary did. This is what the contemplative view of a beautiful believer who does not doubt the fidelity of God is like, who does not worry only about himself and his gains, but that notice the thirst of wine of so many people that are around him and who have lost the joy of life. The transforming power of Jesus continues to be the reality in the life of every Christian, in the church, and in the world. When we do whatever he tells us, everything is converted into something better. The gift of the Spirit in our hearts leads us to live in the service of others. And this is better than to live focused only on ourselves. We must be the water that has been converted into wine. And let us not forget that a sign of privilege is the faithful living of a Christian marriage.